they're just beautiful, loving. They love God. They love his people. They love the word of God. And your life's going to be changed today. I'd like you to stand and greet this amazing man of God, Pastor Tony Brazelton. Come up.
Stop at 10:20.
Oh, yeah, or 10:25.
Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Why y'all sit down so quick? Look at y'all. Do you know church is a place where you get exercise? You up, down, jump around. Listen, I'm so thrilled to be with your pastors. They are amazing people. And I know you already know that. So if you would help me, put your hands together and celebrate these gifts from heaven. Woo! Glory! Hey! I just love the whole staff here. Everybody here is anointed. Isn't it so good to be a part of that? How many went to the Georgian thing? Amen. Let me see. Global. Let me see. Anybody participated in that? Have we not had a meeting? If you would, give God thanks for that. Amen. I'm surprised you're still up. Come on, grab the hand of your neighbor and let's just pray and get started this morning. I'm so glad to be here with my beautiful wife. Amen. And my daughters. You know, and then my VCMI family. But now I'm a part of the Life Center. You can't get rid of me. You can't get rid of me. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You love well. I love you more. And you do things in excellence. And I don't know if anybody tells you that, but I want to be the first, if no one else, let you know that you are such a blessing to me, and not just to us, but to the entire world. And so thank you for your love. Thank you for your manifestation of who Jesus is. Come on, give yourselves a hand clap, and then we'll pray. Tell somebody beside you, you look good this morning. Yeah, all right, okay. Please tell John that. He needs to hear that this morning. He was up here pointing to himself. He need that early this morning. He need to know that. Now grab your hands. Let's do it now. Let's just pray and get started. See, I got... Let's just pray. Believe God for the one on your right and left, that God would speak to them and God would empower them, that we would experience something supernatural this morning. Father, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus. And Father, we believe that we receive all of your provisions of life and godliness. We receive the knowledge of your son, Jesus. We thank you that our steps are ordained of you. And God, we're taking these paths that have been prearranged, set aside, which is a good life. I declare we are living the good life. And we believe that we receive what you want to do in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody that's in agreement, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning, I want to again talk about this area of the supernatural life. There's something that I can't wait to get to. But let's just make a brief overview of what I've already talked about. Now, the supernatural life, you know, is what we've all been called to. And I believe that the supernatural life is when we begin to live the life from the finish line. How many people know that Jesus, he crossed the finish line? When he said it is finished, that meant he crossed the finish line. And your life and my life begins at the finish line. Are you hearing me? Now, as our understanding, this statement is what I want to work through today. As our understanding of salvation increases, so will our participation in the supernatural increase. so will our participation in the finished work of Jesus increase. So will it increase as our understanding of this salvation increases. Now, we have learned that how do we participate in this salvation? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So we participate in this salvation, and salvation for you and I is all of the finished works of Jesus. We are to participate in the finished work. That's what our salvation is. It's deliverance, it's healing, it's everything that God crossed the finish line says it belongs to you and I. And we participate in the finished work by grace through faith. Now, grace is what you and I already know because this church is well taught. It is the favor of God. It is this unearned, undeserved, something you cannot work for. It is favor given and favor received. So now everything that God provides for you comes by means of his favor. So if it's coming by means of his favor, that means you don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to labor for your healing. You don't have to strive for your healing because it's given to you as an act of favor. That's what he means, for by grace are you saved. Now, you and I know that salvation is the Greek word for sozo, which is the all-inclusive finished work of Jesus. So think about it. You get what Jesus has accomplished as an act of favor. Now, when you realize that God has already favored you and I, then the only thing left for you and I to do is to learn how to receive that favor. Now, he tells us that faith is the vehicle to receive the favor of God. In other words, grace makes it, but God's faith takes it. You got to understand, faith makes it. Grace makes it, but faith takes it. You understand? Faith doesn't make anything. See, your faith can only take what grace has made available to you. There's no faith for where there's no grace. There's no faith where God has not made this available for you and I. So we realize to participate in the supernatural, to participate in the finished work, to participate in healing, to participate in miracles, signs, and wonders, to participate, that is just simply God favoring you. You know, for long we thought that that was only a ministry gift. That you had to be an apostle, you had to be a prophet, you had to be in the prophetic ministry to operate in that level of the supernatural. No, but my Bible says that when he crossed the finish line, that's where we begin. And for many of us, we've been trying to get to the finish line, and no, we don't have to work to get to the finish line. The finish line is where we begin. So we start with the supernatural. We start in realms that are impossible with man, but it's no longer impossible with you and I. Why? As this understanding of salvation increases, so will your participation in realms outside of human understanding. God is calling the church to walk in realms that no one has ever seen before. We have seen great things in this church and outside of this church, but yet there are still things to come. Are you hearing me? We're living in a season where anything is possible. Why? Because there's such revelation that's been released. Even in this house, you have a revelator that releases word that just empowers the church, that when we leave it, we feel like we can do anything. My God. And it's stirring up all the devils. They are afraid because for two reasons. There is such wisdom that's being released. There's such understanding that is causing the church to walk in dimensions that no one has ever seen before. And we don't have to wait for it to happen because why? We now realize, well, glory, we start where Jesus finished. Are you hearing me? Man, we're participating in that. That's where we are. We're participating in something. And we don't have to earn it. It's not based on your prayer life. It's not based on how many hours you fast. I thank God for that, because there was a season I spent a lot of time praying and a lot of time fasting to try to get God to do something that he's already done. I don't know about you. There were times I was praying. I thought if I could pray 4 hours, man, I could call heaven to meet the earth. And so, man, I tried it and I tried it. And I realized after doing that, nothing ever happened. Man, I just, well, man, maybe the apostles have the lucky ticket. I wish I had the lucky ticket. And after a while, you realize it ain't about a lucky ticket. You have Jesus Christ. Woo, glory. He has provided for you every answer before you've even asked him of the answer. I like what Deuteronomy says, 31 verse 8. It talks about that there's no reason for you to operate in fear. Why? Because God goes before your future. Yes. Then he comes back, grabs you by the hand, and walks you through your present. I don't know, that just is so radical. That would be like God. That means your present met God before you did. Do you understand? You can't have a now without God already meeting it. Do you understand? There's absolutely no reason to be afraid of cancer. There's absolutely no reason to be afraid of the devil. There's absolutely no reason to be afraid of lack. There's no reason to have fear of any reason. There's no reason to be afraid, because when you got there, God had already gone before you. We're walking in realms that God has already gone before you and now walking you and I through. We are such a supernatural people, and our problem is we've looked at our human experience, but we've got to learn how to look at our lives through the lens of the finished work of the cross, not through this earthly lens. You know, every time you come up against something, you have the ability to look at it from an earthly lens, or you can look it through the lens of the finished work of Jesus. See, your mind will talk to you about your humanity, and the Holy Ghost will talk to you about who you really are. And you just have to make the right choice to experience the supernatural, to experience what God already knows, what God already believes about you. Do you understand? You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world. Anything can happen at any moment. Time has shortened. The devil is terrified because Jesus is coming. Woo, glory. Oh. Do you understand? Hallelujah. That terrifies the devil. When Jesus showed up, and what did them demons say to Jesus? They said, "Have you come to terrify us before our time?" He's scared. You don't need to be afraid. He's already afraid. So we are just such a supernatural people. And we've got to understand this salvation, because when you do, you will change your position. One of the things that I want to bring out this morning that I pray to God I can get it across to you. It's a reality that for some reason it's gone unnoticed. We haven't really realized it and walked in light of it. And yet Jesus knows this to be true. Even the devil knows this to be true. But we've got to walk in the truth of what this is. And the problem is that man is this reflective being. Mankind has been given this enormous gift. The ability to be whatever he beholds. Oh, you better hear me. You were made to mirror and reflect desires. Just like the nature of a mirror is to reflect, so is the nature of man is to reflect whatever it beholds. In the only way in which you and I can be ourselves, the only way that you and I can walk in the supernatural and in the finished works of Jesus is in beholding our God. Are you hearing me? We mirror the intentions and the desires of others. Desires are being suggested all the time. We are suggesting desires. Desires are being suggested to you and I. And our ability to reflect desire, hear me now, can cause us to be most like God, who is supernatural, or most unlike God. You know, God desired you. And it's his desire that formed you. That's why the Bible talks about you were made in his image and likeness. Do you understand? We were made to reflect his desires. And I don't know if you realize it is, we were born that way. To reflect him. The problem is that when mankind failed, and he failed because he began to reflect another desire other than that. He began to behold something other than God. And when he stopped beholding God and he started to behold something other than God, he failed. But yet he still is this reflective being. And now that we're living as fallen human beings. Not only did we fall, but not only did we fall and God has come to redeem us, but he has to redeem our concepts as well. He's not just redeeming you. He has to redeem your concepts and your believing in the way that you do life, because we are reflective beings and we're reflecting a reality that's not really God. let me give you my own personal. You know, I remember when I was in high school, you know, and I didn't really have a desire to just wanted to get through high school so that my mother wouldn't beat me. I wasn't one of those brilliant students. School wasn't my passion. You know, because I was reflecting the community that I was a part of, and it wasn't a good community. You know, the heroes in my community were people that went to prison because they had the wealth, they had the cars, they had all the nice things. And so for me, that was what I wanted to reflect. That was what I saw as being successful. Nobody had nothing, and not unless you did things through drugs and all. And so, but there was a guy that was a part of this group that I was a part of. And one day I walked past the dean list and saw his name on the dean list. And I'm thinking like, what is this guy doing? We don't do dean lists. We do drugs. You understand? We do stuff like that. We sell, we do money. We don't do this. And I looked at that. And all of a sudden, his desire came on me. I decided from that point that I was going to put my name on the dean list. And from that day on, I became a dean list student. I became a student on the dean list. Why? There's a reflection of desire. You can put children in a nursery. Hear me now. And there's a child in the nursery playing with toys and having fun. And you bring a new child in there. And the first thing that new child sees, his eyes goes on the child that's playing with toys. He sees that child's desire, and that desire is now imprinted in that child. What does that child want? I want that other child's toys. And he will go over there, or she will go over there, bop that child over the head, and take those toys and say this, mine, mine, mine. What's happening? He's reflecting desires. That's why you should never tell your best girlfriend how much you like your boyfriend. Because your girlfriend gonna want your boyfriend. Why? We were made to reflect desires and we don't know it. Are you hearing me? We are blind to a cycle that we are involved in. And then the problem is, how can we break out of this cycle? Except God breaks into our confusion. He breaks into our world. He breaks into our understanding to reveal things hidden before the foundation of the world. I like what Matthew 13, verses 34, 7. Here's why Jesus talked to them in parables. Because not only did man fall, his concepts fail. So he has to reteach us, retell the human story. Jesus coming is to retell the human story. And so he says in Matthew 13, excuse me, verse 34, he says, all these things Jesus spake to the multitudes in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Can you see what Jesus, he's breaking into this confused world that we're living in. See, I'm giving off my desires, and you're giving off your confusion. He breaks into our world to retell your story of things that were secrets from the foundation. Ooh, glory. Are you hearing me? Jesus comes to tell the story. He realizes because you're a reflective being, you need a model. See, the model that caused Jesus to operate was his father. He says, I don't do anything that I don't see or hear from my daddy. His father was his model. Even Jesus is trying to tell you that I am a reflective being. I am a reflection of him. He is my model. See, when Peter walked on water, it's because he was a reflection of Jesus. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at water, he became a reflection of water. So the enemy is always trying to get you to look at your shortcomings and the things that you've messed up, the mistakes you've made. Because as long as you look at that, you will never operate from the finished work of Jesus. You'll never operate in the supernatural. And see, it's not by your works anyway. When you think about the suicide rate in our country, the reason that it's so huge is because what are you looking at? What is your model? You see, we were created to have a model. And even if we grow up in a home that is broken and you say in your life, I don't want to be like that when I grow up. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better model, mother. And you make a decision not to do what you have seen in your house, but you still have not made a decision where God is your model. So even that idea still puts you in a place where you're not a reflection of who he is. And so Jesus realizes, and here's why God had to be incarnated. You need a model. When he was in the garden, the Father was Adam and Eve's model. And so in John chapter 8, Jesus begins to teach how important it is for you and I to realize that there are models on the planet and that he is one of them. One of these models are destructive. One of these models produce death, while the other one produce life. One of these models will produce the supernatural. One of these models will produce just a human experience. And so Jesus said in John 31, something so outstanding just got me. He says to those in John chapter 8, verse 31, he speaks to those that believe in him. Somebody say, believe in him. Anybody believe in Jesus in this time? He says to those that believe in him, he says, that's not enough. It's not enough just to believe in him. You got to believe the right things concerning him. And he says, it's not enough just to believe. Unless you know the truth, you will never be free. And I've come to learn in my life and in my years of ministry is that you never know how bound you are until you get free. Unless you know the truth, you will never be free. And then my question is, free from what? Well, let's think about it. Who is he talking to? He is talking to Jews. Jews that live under the law of Moses. They're living by the 630 laws. They're living by the Ten Commandments. And he says to those that live by the law, live by the Ten Commandments, unless you know the truth, you will never be free. So it says to me, when I try to live by the law of Moses or live by the Ten Commandments, I'll never be free. Never be free. So unless you know the truth, you will never be free. So then the question is, what is the truth? In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He's talking about Jesus. Follow me, I'm going to help you. Rabasata. You know, I want to say something in English and in tongues. And we beheld his glory, referring to Jesus. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. It was the glory that Adam had. And notice, this glory, only begotten of the Father, Jesus full of what? Grace and truth. Now the question is, what truth was he talking about? Here he says, Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Only grace can communicate truth. Only grace can communicate truth. You know, it takes grace to communicate you truth. And so here's Jesus, you know, he says to those that believe on him, unless you know the truth, you'll never be free. And Jesus said, we see in John chapter 1, that Jesus is grace and truth. He is the grace of God that communicates truth. And then it goes on in verse 16, it says, and of his fullness, grace and truth, grace that communicates truth, have we all received. Now remember what grace is. Grace is this unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor that you cannot work for. It's favor given, favor receiving. It is this empowering presence of the Holy Ghost that enables you to be and to do what you could not do. It is what allows you to step out of your human ability into the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, glory. So when you step up and you face any impossible odds, you can look at it and declare, it is finished. My healing, it is finished. My prosperity, it is finished. My children and what God has in mind for them, no matter what the devil is doing, it is finished. I know you tried to kill him, but I'm here to tell you, I prophesy over my kids, it is finished. I remember my mother said to me, son, I got a word from God concerning your life. And here's what she said. The Bible says that as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And it's too bad I'm serving God and you're a part of my house, so you're going to serve God. That's all my mother said to me. She never preached to me. She never pushed me. She had a promise from the finished work of God. And guess what? What am I doing today? I'm here to tell you, no matter what your kids are doing, no matter what's going on in your body, in your finance, and in your job, I'm here to tell you, it is finished. Somebody shout, finished. Finished. Now he said, of Jesus' fullness, who is that? Grace and truth. Of grace and truth, have you received? What did you receive? Grace for grace. Not of your works. Not of your ability. Not of your doings. Not of your effort. That's the truth, Jesus. So he's trying to tell a group of people that are working, that are performing to receive everything. They're performing for God's approval. They're performing for self-righteousness. They're performing to receive and stand up before God and doing all of these things. And he's trying to tell them, unless you know truth, Jesus, unless you know the grace of God, well, you can never know truth. Rabasata. You can never know truth until you understand grace. And then he goes on to say to them, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came, how? By Jesus Christ. See, he makes a distinction between the two because you can't mix them. And all over the world, people are trying to mix the grace and truth with the law. We're trying to perform at the same time, trying to operate in grace. But there's a distinction between the two. Either we're going to walk in the grace of God that leads to the truth, which is the finished work of Jesus, or we're going to work to have what grace and truth has given us. Again, I'm not praying to get God to do anything. He's already done it. I'm praying to get my unbelief out of me. I'm praying to position myself where I can receive what he's already done. So the only thing left is what? Is to begin to thank God for it. Think of the greatest manifestation that you are in faith is you've learned the secret to rest. What happened when God rested on the seventh day? He made everything the first 5 days. And then after he completed everything after the first 5 days, and then he made man on the sixth day. So what was it that man needed to do? Walk and live in the finished work of God. Are you hearing me? He didn't have to do anything. The only thing left for him to do is to praise him, is to thank him, is to receive all the benefits of the work that God has done. If we would learn how to receive the benefits of the cross, we would terrify the devil and glorify God. Are you hearing me? I'm here to tell you, before you started, it was finished. Before you prayed about it, it was finished. Before it ever crossed your mind, before you ever was born in your mother's womb, it was already finished. And so as long as you're trying to labor and work for and perform for something's finished, God is looking at us like, what in the world is wrong with you? Are you absolutely crazy? Have you lost your mind? See, we've got to look at life through the lens of grace and truth. And that's what he's saying. And not through the lens of your humanity. See, the world is always trying to tell you, even the church, not this church, is trying to tell you, you need to do something. And you feel like you need to do something. And you felt like because you didn't do something, then you don't have a right to receive it. Let me tell you, he'd already done something. While you were a sinner, he died for you. Do you understand? So why is it that you think you need to do something? This idea that there's still something I need to do. There's something I need to pray about. Something else that needs to be done means that you're not living in the finished work of Jesus. Am I helping anybody? Okay. Now let's go back and put that reality in John 8, verse 31. And Jesus said to those Jews who believe on him, if you continue in my word, that's the key. Not any word. You continue in my grace-filled words. Then are you my what? Disciple. You become a disciple of grace and truth. And you shall know the truth. Grace that leads to truth. and the truth. That is the result of grace that leads to truth, makes you free. Grace that leads to truth makes you free. It's God's favor. When you come to the truth that everything that you get is a direct result that God simply favors you. Now you're in truth. Now I'm in truth. Hey! See, what does that do for it? It opens you up for the supernatural. It opens you up for things that are impossible. It opens you up instead of being afraid. It opens you up for more. I'm telling God, I'm open, I'm open, I'm open, I'm open, I'm open for business. I'm open. Why? Ooh. It leads to truth that makes you free. Free from anything that would enslave you, anything that would rob you of walking in the reality of what Jesus has accomplished for you. See, no devil can tell you you cannot. No one can stand in your face and tell you you cannot. When you're open to God, all things are possible. And how am I open? Because I'm open to his truth and his grace. That has communicated that truth to me. It's this empowering presence operating on the inside of me, talking to me, revealing to me things that this head cannot comprehend. There are realities that none of us have yet to see. I love the scriptures, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God is revealing those things to us by his spirit. Do you know in the Bible, in Hebrews, it says that he is the spirit of grace. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of grace. What does it mean? He's the one imparting this grace to you. He's the one imparting this truth that makes you free. I am free to be fully and totally who God's called me to be. I'm free to raise the dead. I'm free to open blind eyes. I'm free to do what God's called me to do. I am free. I am free, 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 free. Free to be myself. Free. Free. Thank God I'm free. Well, how did it happen? Grace communicated my freedom. See, let me tell you something. As long as you walk and live by the law, you'll never live by love. Because the death of love is duty. Living by rules and regulations. I love this generation. They want to throw all the rules out the window. And I think it's partly because of we're starting to stop living by the laws and living by his grace. And there's some kind of parallel going on here, but they just need understanding. That's why I said, as our understanding increases, where salvation is concerned, so will our participation in the supernatural. God bless you.
Yeah, come on, stand up. Let's give God thanks. That's a good word.